Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction here on FIFO.com. I'm the point guard, Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, by the Chubby Chief. You have the Cruncher as your like little title that no one can see, but it's Joseph Holbert, everybody. Joseph, just, how are you?
Jeremy, this whole show is purely to pop you and to pop I. So the fact that no one can see it means nothing to me. I am the Cruncher for this show. And here's the news, folks. I'm starting off hot here, okay? After 11 months of sarcasm, I am excited to talk about the sport of professional wrestling today. The king of sport, professional wrestling. Jeremy seems less excited. He wants to bet Al Horford, which I am ripping the shirt. I'll show you that in a second. But first, wrestling talk. I'm ready to go, Jeremy. I've told you, I've researched. I'm a professional now. I'm ready.
You are. You were very excited in the pre-show. You're like, I've watched everything. Everything. Throw it to me on anything. I'm going to throw it to you on the New Japan Tag League. I hope you're kept up. Come on, you said you've watched everything. Best of Super Juniors, Tag League,
US scene specialist, brother. Okay, okay. That's where I'm at right now.
Let me Japan strong. You got strong New Japan strong takes.
There's a couple blind spots. Okay, there's a couple blind spots. Just give me time. I'm finding my feet again. Maybe I can't hit every ball, but I'll swing at them all at least. There you go.
Guys, we appreciate you joining us here on youtube.com/Fightful. Subscribe if you're with us right now. Leave us a thumbs up. Tap the bell for notifications. We are live. We're live every week, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. We review movies. Leave us a super chat. If you leave a super chat, one, it can pop up on screen. We're on the StreamYard gimmick. So that's a big plus. You can become a big star and get your name on the Distraction podcast. Like, I feel like that's incentive to leave a super chat, right, Joseph?
I would agree. However, I have got to stop you for a moment because you said we review films. And I think over the last 4 weeks of that show, we've actually reviewed like one film. I mean,
and that's Knucklehead. Right. We reviewed Knucklehead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because Tuesday's show was, I mean, it was many things. It was not a review, I feel. But, you know, we're versatile, right? I enjoy on the draft, Jeremy, when any player in the world gets asked what they bring to the team. They're like, versatility. Do a few different things, versatility. That's what I'm here for.
Guys, leave a super chat. Get your question, comment, statement. Read on air. And again, it pops up on the screen. You're part of the Distraction canon if you leave a super chat. That's what everybody wants, right? Let's get into some wrestling topics. We got Survivor Series this weekend. I'm trying to burn through the wrestling. I want to talk about basketball.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just know that I'm here for deep dive.
I know you're ready. You're ready. I've had a good afternoon. I don't know about you. I'm very excited. It's good times. It's good times here at the Distraction offices.
Everything's coming up Distraction right now.
Yeah.
Right? So the numbers are trending a certain way. Business is booming. It looks like we're the biggest stars in the world right now. And when I say looks like, I mean we are the biggest stars in the world right now. So wrestling talk, that's just what we do as a side gig.
I got AEW wrestlers in my DMs threatening me because of things that I say. Talk about that later on, maybe.
I was going to say a name. I'm going to stop myself. Carry on.
I think everyone knows who it is.
Yes, but yeah. I was going to speculate elsewhere, and I'll leave that bit because I'm not in trouble.
No, don't do that. Let's get into some wrestling. We got Survivor Series this weekend. Before we get Survivor Series, Joseph, Monday Night Raw, Drew McIntyre and his giant sword are the new WWE champions. They've dethroned Randy Orton. They cut the head off of the Viper. And now we got McIntyre and Reigns on Sunday. But you're the Orton guy here. Randall is your favorite wrestler of all time, I believe. I believe you said he's the greatest wrestler of all time. WWE has said that. He won the greatest wrestling match of all time, so he's the greatest wrestler of all time. No longer the champion. His 3-week reign comes to an end.
I have nothing but positivity about this, Jeremy. I think this was great. Randy in his, 3 weeks just injected some, there was, at least a change, right? And in that 3 weeks, I think they got the Drew character over more and what he stands for. Better chasing the belt again than they would have with any title defense. I really believe this. The whole deal where he was opposite Roman and he was, kind of emphasizing this deal of, priding himself on being, an actual top guy was pretty cool. And it was a good contrast, obviously, all along with Randy's sort of I don't give a shit attitude. I thought it was great. I thought it was one of their best matches on Monday, which is, depending on who you ask, not saying a lot. I would say it says a lot, Jeremy. I like those matches. But my big thing, and this is where I'm interested on where you stand on this one, is Survivor Series is stronger now, right? As much as I like Randy, Drew and Roman's a bigger match in this form. Would you have been inclined to hold off on that and be that's a WrestleMania match for 2 years down the line? Or is it the right time? Let's just do the match Sunday.
I probably would have tried to hold off on it, but they were never going to do that. Once Drew showed up on SmackDown, I thought it gave away that Drew was winning on Monday and they were going to do this at Survivor Series. People tried to talk out of it and be like, oh no, it's a tease for WrestleMania. Drew's going to win the Rumble and it's just a big WrestleMania tease. Have you watched this company? This company can't hold off that long. If somebody is showing up on SmackDown to promote the match, chances are that match is going to happen. I'm shocked it just didn't happen on SmackDown. That's what they would typically do. But they held off a week. They held off just over a week. I thought that was that showed good poise and presence by them to do that. Good restraint.
How do you book this finish on Sunday?
Distraction.
The Fiend?
You think The Fiend might be a good call. Do you think Alexa comes out and that distracts McIntyre and then the little light gimmick goes down and that comes down. And then once it comes back up, Drew is just laid out and Alexa and the Fiend are at the top of the ramp and then they're making out and, cackling and stuff. And then Roman is looking around what's happening? And then Roman pins him. I think that's how you book it. That gets everybody over, right?
Yeah, sure. Roman has to win, though, right? Because Roman's the guy who hasn't been pinned. You want to keep that until he loses the belt. It's just interesting. There's something to be said for Drew just losing and it being he's come a long way, but he's still not the franchise player. There's something to be said for that story and him trying to constantly prove that he's that guy 12 years after being the chosen one. I think is interesting. It's at the end of the day, the Survivor Series event has become such a fiasco because it is literally just we need to get ourselves the correct champ versus champ matches every year. And it's fascinating to watch. I enjoy it now in a weird sort of, oh, good God, what corner are they going to put themselves in? But if I'm trying to take the most sort of distanced fan view, it now feels more like a big four show because it has a match that I would have held off for WrestleMania. So it's one of those deals where while I'm cautious, I can only be positive about it as a fan until I see what they do with it, obviously, right? if they completely blow it, then it means nothing. But I think it's important for this match to hit. I didn't particularly like their matches with Drew as the heel. A lot has changed since then, but I still think it's important for this match to be a standout within the WWE sort of structure, you know?
Sasha Banks and Asuka.
The legit boss.
Didn't make this feel like a big time show.
See, I remember we spoke about this years ago when the show was booked, and I said it then. It's there's only so much you can complain about those two wrestling, but like, there's also only so excited you can be.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're not selling me on this idea that like, it's different now. She's a baby face. Like, she's the same character. Like, and Asuka's done nothing. So it's, yeah, that's rough. I mean, it's about as rough as it can get for a match of that quality. Right. That's basically the deal there.
I think the card on paper is good. My issue is similar to yours, is that like the Survivor Series gimmick, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just, it's champion versus champion matches. Cool. Like, I'm all for this, like, oh, brand loyalty. Like, I think they should lean into that a little bit more, but they don't. They just do these matches and they have no stakes, no nothing. It'll probably get mentioned like once on Raw the next night. It's like, oh yeah, Raw won the Survivor Series, SmackDown won the Survivor Series, and that's it. Like, it's never heard about again. And like, that's my issue with a lot of this. But the matches themselves aren't that bad. McIntyre and Roman, I'm with you. That feels like an actual big time match that should be headlining. That could headline any pay-per-view. That could easily headline WrestleMania, right up there with Nia Jax and Asuka. Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn is a fine match. Feels like it's been years since we've seen that, right? So
that was the summer of 2018.
Okay. So it's been a couple of years since we've seen that. New Day and Street Profits, I'm really looking forward to. I think if they get time, that's gonna be a great match. Asuka and Sasha, like you said, it's tough to complain when they're wrestling. And then the men's and the women's Survivor Series matches, they should be fine. We don't know all the competitors in all of these matches, but there's plenty of talent to go on both teams.
So I want to circle back to the women's match because I think that is an interesting conversation. But firstly, the one concern I have as you went through those matches is it feels pretty clear which way they're going to split those title matches, in the sense that, like, I feel pretty confident in saying Banks and Roman are winning the matches for SmackDown. And then that would leave Lashley's probably going to win, right? Because they don't protect Sammy like at all. They don't need to. He's that kind of heel. And then that leaves the New Day, which makes sense too. So it's like, that's the one thing with Survivor Series, is as the event starts unfolding, the results become clearer, because it's like, you know, they're going to do things a certain way generally. Other than when NXT were there and they were just like, NXT's win one Wednesday Night War. Yeah. Win one. But the women's division thing's interesting. So I know we don't talk about NXT here, but last night there was a tremendous match, as you well know, Jeremy. Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai was great. And it's impossible not to watch that show when you see that match and then you see the tag that was Ember and Tony against Dakota and Raquel. And it's like, why is SmackDown doing a Carmella title program and Raw is doing a Lana centerpiece angle?
Hey. We're not burying Lana here. We're not going to speak ill of Lana.
I am going to do both those things.
No. I'm going to ban you from this show.
I just don't get it. Why do they handle this division as though they're like booked, like with no talent?
I can mute your mic, by the way. Go ahead. Try to talk about Lana. You can't. No one can hear you right now. You're just muted. This is the kind of control I have with this gimmick. I can remove you from the entire stream if I wanted to. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you. They book this women's division as though it's like the NWA in the power studio. It's like, we've got to make the best of what we got. Like, just get Lana over as a baby face against Nia Jax. And it's like, you don't. You have the best collection of female talent ever. Why is it utilized this way? Like, if you switched, and I don't mean, look, this is mean about Carmella because she's just come back. So God bless her. I wish her well. But if you just put Dakota Kai in her position on SmackDown, like, the show would immediately be better. Because it'd be Banks and Dakota Kai whenever you do it. And it's like, it just, for me, it's such a strange system they've got themselves in now, right? Is it not weird?
And this is their system. Yeah, it's weird, but like, this is how they have so much talent in NXT, which is going to bring me to my point on this. There's two spots open on the women's SmackDown team, right? Two spots. Mm-hmm. Chelsea Green was earmarked for one of those spots. They had to change things up on Friday because she got hurt. Liv Morgan ended up getting that spot. I feel like Liv Morgan was gonna get that spot anyway. Natalya's been in every single qualifying match and she loses them all. And then Bayley is still out there as well. What do you think of them bringing up Rhea Ripley and having her in one of these two spots? Because it looked like that was a send-off last night.
It did, but I would tell them not to do that because, to me, the clear spot for her is Raw. When you look at what Raw has, and I know everyone says the Bray thing is a babyface act, but I can't. My brain can't cope with that. So, like, the Raw women's title match at WrestleMania being Charlotte and Rhea is like, that makes sense, doesn't it? And even better, one step further, it doesn't even have to be the title match. Like, to me, she fits on Raw opposite Charlotte. SmackDown, she's then, to me, she'd be taking shine away from Bianca. So I like it in the sense as a fan, I'd like to see her on Survivor Series, but it seems more logical for her to be on the red brand, so to speak. You know?
I think the Bianca thing is why I would be hesitant as well. I would not want to overshadow Bianca because I would have Bianca be the sole survivor in this. And I would actually have her be like down 3-on-1 or something and then just come back and win this. They're not going to do that. I think Lana's going to be the sole survivor, which I'll be happy with. Fine with that. But
yeah, of course you will.
I think putting Bianca over Strong in this match would be a much smarter idea.
If you had her like 3-1 down against like Shayna, Nia and one of Peyton and Lacey, it would be such a good move to do what you just suggested. Because frankly, at this point, that whole Raw team is like a lost cause. It is. Because Lana, when she eventually does the thing where she puts Nia through the table or whatever, it'll be like, oh, that was cool. Now what? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing there to be done.
She's going to win the title. What do you mean nothing? They're going to put the title on her if they're smart.
The Peyton Lacey thing is borderline like inside joke on television levels. And then, to me, I like Shayna, but to me, her ceiling is lowered every time she's associated with these people. Like, every time I see her with them, it's like, oh, she's one of them. Loser. So, I would happily sacrifice that whole match just to get Bianca Belair, because other than her, it's a whole lot of nothing right now. It's a shame.
Yeah. That's how I would book it outside of Lana just running through. I would have Lana down 5-on-1 and then she just beats everybody. I think that's the play here. Nope, your mic is muted, Joseph. You cannot respond to that. Okay, you're unmuted.
Do you have any take on the male match? I'll not go back to the Lana deal, but anything on the, because I mean, I think AJ Styles and the group have done a good job of making the most of their 25 minutes of television time every week. It's always at least mild entertaining, like they're doing what they can. So anything on that match?
There's still a spot open for somebody on the SmackDown side. I have no idea who's filling that spot. Do you have any inkling of like who might be that final person?
You said that to me like I'm a scooter. Like, well, sources say. I've been talking to Daniel Bryan about it this morning. they may do like the loser match, right? Where everyone who lost the qualifier gets another shot.
Yeah, remember, and I guess who lost these matches?
It was Bryan. Dolph, I want to say.
Dolph lost to Owens.
Who else was on the team?
Jey Uso beat Bryan. Kevin Owens beat Dolph Ziggler. Who did Corbin beat?
Ray.
Ray?
Oh, yeah, because it was the Steph. Yeah, Ray Mysterio Jr.
And then Rollins. Did Rollins beat Murphy?
No, he beat Otis.
Oh.
It wasn't that funny, but okay. Yes, that was the finish where there was like 8 distractions.
Yeah,
and
just
kicked Otis in the gut and pinned him or whatever.
I don't know. I think Murphy ends up on this team. Murphy and Rollins are wrestling on Friday. I think Murphy somehow ends up.
Murphy feels like one of those deals where it's like they know what they're doing with him at this very moment, and then as soon as Seth goes away, they'll be like, anyone seen the Australian kid? Takes good bumps? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so, Joseph. I don't know if you listened to his interview on the award-winning WWE After the Bell today, but let me tell you, sounds like they got big plans for old Murphy, and he's very excited for them.
Look, I like the Buddy Murphy very much. If he's like talking about the incredible red-hot angle with Mr. Mysterio's daughter, then I don't know what's going through his head. But okay,
he was not talking about the incredible red hot angle. He was just saying how it was great to work with Seth, and it's been great to work with Ray, and they did not get into the angle at all. That award-winning WWE After the Bell, pull no punches, great show, great interview as always. Everyone save yourself 50 minutes and don't listen to it.
Look, beyond all that nonsense, I'll never listen to that show, but there are like 101 good wrestlers in WWE, but Murphy is like so good that he can still stand out purely on in-ring. And that puts him in a very, very... Now, don't go wrong, that's never stopped him before. Look at poor Ricochet. I mean, he's, you know, he's being Ricochet, ain't he? So I'm not optimistic, but it would be cool. SmackDown would be a better show for having him on regularly once this whole filth ends.
Why isn't Retribution part of this match?
Because they suck.
They just beat Team Raw.
This thing, and I know you're doing this on purpose to get a bit out of me here. This thing where we have to pretend we care because we all agree Mustafa Ali is good. It's done. It's finished. It sucks. It was done when they came out as T-Bar Slapjack in the game. It's finished. Just let it be. Just root for it to end so we can get back to Ali being good. It's terrible. Terrible wrestling.
But they're not going to do anything with Ali once Retribution ends.
Just quicken it up and he can leave. Let's get on with this. Let's not make him suffer here, okay? If they keep going like this, Jeremy, he's going to be working NXT UK soon. I don't want that. I don't want that for him.
Are we talking about Walter against Ali? That'd be great. That 100%.
Based on the venues they run here, I could probably book that for my garden, I feel. Actually, if I reach out to H now, I feel I've got a chance, so... Maybe not. Maybe I want that. Continue, guys. Continue the Retribution. Very good. Definitely very good.
You think they'll get Ali back on 205 Live?
You know 205 Live, like, is that... Like, what do you think the viewership numbers are for that show?
I have no idea.
There are people on that show. There are indie brothers on that show, and I will not name my respect, that I didn't know they'd signed. And they are, like, wrestling on 205 every week, winning. And I was just like... I can't fathom it's a WWE. It feels like it has less buzz than any other wrestling show in the world that's, like, big.
Am I wrong? No, because it does. They don't promote that show at all. They don't do anything with that show.
What has more buzz, Ring of Honor TV or 205 Live?
Oh, Ring of Honor TV, 100%. 100% ROH. I don't even think it's close, actually. I really do MLW not think it's close. TV. I mean, MLW right now, because like they literally just had their restart last night, so they've been doing a bunch of like media and stuff for it. Give it 2 weeks, and then it'll be about even.
Yeah, I like that you pretended it was like red hot in the restart. I appreciate that.
But hey, look, I had to write about the Opera Cup article. I watched that show last night before AEW and stuff. Did you?
I watch all the shows. It was actually very like. It bummed me out, to be honest, because I actually quite enjoy their product. And it's like, yeah, they did this really cool opening. And then it's just like, oh, it's an empty building.
That's an immediate, like, death knell for a company, is to just watch them in an empty building try to do what they're trying to do. It just had no reaction, and they think it comes off, like, very cool and stuff. And it's just like, no, there's no one there who cares about this stuff. Literally no one's there.
It's also the deal that, like... I don't want to question anyone's work ethic, but two of those guys on that show appeared like they didn't really want to be there. Like they were in major matches on that show, and I don't think that helps anyone. So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is.
It still has more buzz right now than 205 Live. They don't do anything for 205 Live. Joseph, I did an article on Kurt Stallion. Apparently they trademarked his name. And I looked it up. I was like, this guy's been on 205 Live for 3 weeks now? What is happening?
I mean, that was pretty obviously the guy I was referencing. I didn't name him, but I appreciate you. Yes, exactly. I didn't know. I didn't even know he was signed. And he was wrestling 205 Live matches. Incredible.
I knew he was signed, but like, why don't they send these guys on media interviews? Come on our show. I'm asking WWE right now.
No, don't come on our show. I don't want to watch that shit. I watch everything else. Don't come on our show. MLW guys, I'd rather them come on our show than them guys.
Court, come on, give us Jacob Fatu. Let him come on the show. Yeah, you got to pay us for them to come on the show. That's a thing. Yeah.
Hear about them MLW paydays? I'd like one.
And get us in trouble. Anything else from Survivor Series that needs to be talked about here?
Survivor Series, I remember that.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, anything else, I think that The Undertaker will set up a program with the Fiend Bray Wyatt, and we will all stand up in just at the same time, we'll stand up together unanimously and be like, no boom period, like that, and we'll all pump our fists in excitement. Your thoughts?
Oh, apparently, I don't even know what you just said. Apparently, I'm getting yelled at here, Joseph. I'm getting yelled at by people.
What happened?
Apparently, I said I've been called a mark, and Sean literally told me the fifth member of Team SmackDown on the SmackDown post show that I did with Sean on Friday. Do you know how many drugs I've done since that SmackDown post show? I can't remember this stuff.
What is happening? Who is the fifth member? What's going on?
I don't know.
What, you were told this? Is this what's happening here?
Yeah, apparently I was told on the SmackDown post show. I don't remember who it was. Let me know who it is in the chat, all right? What did you say before this, Joseph?
I said the Fiend Bray Wyatt is going to set up a program with The Undertaker.
Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yes.
No, he's feuding with Drew, though.
No, he'll do both.
I mean, he's very versatile. You can put him in any program, and he's going to make it work, and it's going to be great.
The Undertaker being like a big Bray Wyatt fan, like watching Undertaker fans surprised at that. It's like, did you watch any of this guy's career? Like, of course he's a fan of the guy who does the exact like character bit and you know, sacrifice star ratings for character. Like, that's his whole bit. He did like 4 years of good matches at the end of his career just to be nice. Let him like the shit he likes. Of course he likes Bray Wyatt. Good Lord.
We got to talk about The Undertaker. He's getting his big send-off.
No, we don't. The arm and all that. I did the feature. Let me be. Okay, let's move on.
Wait. I got to do this bit. I got a hat. Put it on. Hold on. Yo. That's what he does, right? He does that. And you take the hat off.
That was absurd. That was terrifying. That was worse than any. That was more scary than anything Undertaker's ever done.
And then I lay the hat down, and the hat just remains there. And I'm retired now. Yeah. I should have had gloves, but I didn't think this bit full through. I just need the hat. I never wore gloves on the show. The hat is a representation of, you know, it's an actual product or an actual prop on the show that people identify with.
I was thinking about it. Like, I was thinking, man, it would have been so cool if Taker could have like main event at WrestleMania against the top guy in the industry, gone out, like lost, and then like left all of his stuff in the ring, and it had been like, man, what a send-off for The Undertaker. And I was thinking, like, maybe you could do it with Roman Reigns next year at WrestleMania, and like, it's just a novel idea, I don't know. But then I'm sure he'd come back and wrestle Bill Goldberg in like a world war in Serbia, so I don't know. Let's leave The Undertaker. I don't want to be doing the Taker thing again. That got out of hand last week. Very scary.
Everyone read Joseph's feature on The Undertaker. Amazing title, by the way. Great title.
No dunks, from what I've seen. No dunks.
You shouldn't get dunked on. It was a great title.
I tried to put out the fire by replying to the tweet so everyone knows. I'm aware that he is not, in fact, an industry anomaly. Very far from it. But there you go.
I mean, my title is still better, but, you know, I'm getting banned from everything now.
Wow. You got heat, man. You need to find out who this fifth guy was.
Yeah, they probably said it in the chat, but let me put some super chats up here. Jobber JJ, supporting my favorite stars. That's us. Eddie Kingston, still the GOAT.
Also Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. How would you book your trip to Vegas? I don't know, through Expedia, probably? Miz cash in attempt and fails. Hashtag point guard merch. I think that Miz will probably cash in and fail. I don't know. You putting the title on? Do you think Miz cashes in on Sunday?
Well, I thought he meant, like, we're going to go to Vegas with The Miz. I was very confused what he was talking about.
I mean, maybe we can do that.
I forgot The Miz was the Mr. Look, man, I have got a lot of time for The Miz, but, like, he can't be the champ of that brand because he just – they beat him so much. And that feels like the play to get them ratings to somehow go lower. I would be very careful with that, to be honest. So I guess he fails. But then if he's failing, why not just – like, my thing is, if he's going to fail – they could have just had Otis foul and have Roman get some heat out of it.
Yeah.
So, like, why even do that? I don't know. Well, I guess
don't think Miz is going to fail. That's why. I don't think he's going to fail.
But then when do you, like, the thing is WrestleMania, obviously it's not that soon, but, like, it's close enough that you have to start pondering where stuff fits in. When do you fit a Miz title reign in at this point? See what I mean? It's very difficult to
make. I think you just do it. I honestly think you do it at Survivor Series. I'm talking myself into a Miz cash in on Sunday.
Turn around.
Yeah, I'm cashing in my cash in on the Money in the Bank. I think they're going to end up doing it on Sunday, and then Drew's just going to beat him for the title on Monday. Like, I literally think that's what's going to happen.
That's fine. I did want to say, because I spoke to you about this off air, but credit to John Morrison, who's doing the, like, former number one draft pick who's decided he can be a role player in his late 30s, and he's just like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it the best of my ability. He's good. He's done great stuff. He's not being given anything, but he does it the best he can.
Friends, the Point God merch is allegedly coming. Sources close to me said that the Point God shirt is coming. You gotta buy one. If you don't buy one, I get yelled at. It's not my fault, but I will get yelled at. Joseph will probably get fired. It's not his fault either. So you gotta buy one when it gets made. All right, everybody? I'm saying.
Is it fair to assume that the Cruncher t-shirt is a little bit further away?
This Cruncher gimmick is new. I don't even know what this is.
The match of the week.
Oh, okay. This is not part of the product.
We'll get to it. It was just a one-off. Carry on.
Oh, Big E is apparently the fifth person. I forgot about him.
Big E needs to be on that team because he's like the guy you would choose to put over in that match, right?
Yeah. It would be great if it is Big E. I hope it is. The fact that I completely forgot about this and they barely mention him is kind of an issue.
Especially when he's building up the New Day match, which is definitely not the way to go about a separation. Yeah. That's probably not the best play. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
We have more super chats here. What do you guys think about the Pistons draft night? I'll get to basketball in a second, but I'll go ahead and put this on. What do you think about the Pistons draft night? If the Young Bucks equal the Lakers and FTR are the Celtics, who are the bad boys? That's probably closer to FTR. They're not really the Celtics. That's just, you know.
No, this is good. This is very good.
Revived his interest. Music and Moonsault says this show single-handedly revived my interest in basketball. That's a basketball podcast.
That's so cool. Seriously, I know we do silliness on here and talk about being big stars, but that is actually like seriously cool. Now we need to treat this with some respect and think about this. This stay within the AEW universe, Jeremy. Who are the Bad Boy Pistons
in the AEW universe?
Yeah, we need like. Because the thing is, Santana and Ortiz are, like, pretty underhanded.
Yeah.
But they went off the Stu's van.
I think Butcher and Blade?
Yes, that's it. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. He's Lambeer. The Butcher is Lambeer. That's perfect.
I think it's Butcher and Blade.
Oh, man, that's spot on. Oh, can I just say, when we first started doing this show, I probably said something bad about the Butcher and the Blade. Like, they are the best thing in the world by far. The fact that their gimmick is just like heel assassins that look funny is just extraordinary. I love every bit of it. The Butcher just comes out in his apron for no apparent reason. It's glorious stuff, glorious scenes. You look very excited about saying. I'm very scared of what you're about to say.
Oh, I'm Tim Traver, just says hi. Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Thanks for the super chat, buddy.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold off on this. This super chat until we get to basketball talk. We have a run in from someone who just really wants to be on the show. You know what? If you're around, I'll DM you. We'll get to it. Could be a big surprise, Joseph. Could be a very big surprise. All right. What are we talking about? AEW? Want to talk about AEW last night? Anything else from the WWE universe?
No, nothing else. But we do need to move on to AEW, which was an action packed show, as I mentioned off air to you, Jeremy. There was a lot of headlines from that one. Anything from AEW you want to talk about?
Will Hobbs made his big turn. He turned on Cody. He's part of Team Taz. Everyone's talking about this. What are your thoughts on it?
Everyone's talking about this.
This is a big story coming out of AEW. I feel like we're on the same page of like how much this is actually a thing.
Well, it's because like Hobbs was just being introduced as a character from the show. So it's not like, oh my God, he's betrayed the trust of the fans. It's like, eh. Like, it makes sense, right? Taz is a great promo. It's cool. You could do some Cage Hobbs tag team stuff. Like, sure. I kind of liked Hobbs as like the fiery baby face. You're grinning wide at something. But like,
The Undertaker's on Cameo, apparently.
Okay.
The Underdagger's doing cameos, 30 at $1,000 each. If you want to get a cameo from The Undertaker, it's $1,000. Hannah sent me this. She says she's not going to pay a super chat to do this, so I got to check my DMs to read it. Why don't you pay, Hannah? All right?
But why would you do a super chat to say The Undertaker has cameo? Are we like an Undertaker promotion show now? What are we doing?
Apparently. I mean, we're talking about The Undertaker.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about The Undertaker. We're never going to talk about him again. I promise. Ever again.
He's retired. Okay? Farewell. Farewell to The Undertaker.
Anyway. What was he talking about? Oh, yes. Will Hobbs, fine. It's cool, man. It's cool. Taz is a great promo. Neat fit. Is it a big deal? Absolutely not. But it's cool. I'm happy for him.
That's kind of where I'm at. People are talking about, like, this is the greatest turn ever and stuff. And I'm just like, I didn't even associate him with Cody. He just kind of hit Cody. And I was like, yeah, probably deserved it, honestly. He probably should have gotten hit with that belt. He's part of Team Taz now. I'm fine with anybody who gets added to Team Taz. Move Ricky Starks down the pecking order. He's now the fourth best looking person in that group. So sucks for him. And that's pretty much where I'm at on it.
Wow. That was maybe the hottest take you've ever had on this show. I do want to say this.
Ricky Starks wants to get on this talent show that Cody's doing. He wants to judge this the Go Big Home show. What's it called? The Go Big Show. That's what it's called. You don't know this?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Ricky's like, they should have had me on the show. And I told him, you got to have talent to be on this, to be a talent show judge.
What's Cody's excuse?
He's got a cool neck tattoo. Like, he can judge. Yeah.
I need to say this, and as a professional, it's the right thing to do. I sense that I've made things awkward in the AEW locker room. Brian Cage has been really good for the last 2 weeks on AEW. He's been doing big man stuff, but not like sacrificing his whole style. He's just not doing the thing where it looks like he's like dancing with the guy. Like, he's been throwing guys, like Sydal, Darby are good guys to do it with.
Yeah.
But I've really enjoyed him the last 2 weeks. So, Brian, nothing but love, brother. Don't get mad. It's all cool.
Can we take credit for that?
Yes.
I feel like we should, right?
He listened and was like, I'm going to change my whole ring style.
We know people in AEW are listening to this show and that they'll talk about us backstage and be like, hey, these guys said this. Maybe you should think about switching it up a little bit.
Speaking of professional wrestling, Jeremy, have you watched Impact as of late?
I watch Impact every single Tuesday night on the award-winning Access Television.
Do you have an opinion on Josh Matthews talking about the North's use of analytics?
I don't have any opinions on Josh Matthews, all right? I don't.
He said that the North track numbers.
They should.
He was like, they fell behind in tag count early, but this is like Moneyball. The more tags they make, the better it will go. And I was just like, I mean, sure. Like, whatever works for you, but all I can think of is your analytics stuff.
Good. This is what we need. This is what AEW promised me. Maybe AEW should hire Josh Matthews to replace Jim Ross to talk about the analytics on their program. Who wins that trade? Josh Matthews for Jim Ross?
No, look, Jim Ross has fallen a long, long way. Josh is a full ladder away from that dude. He's still like... this week, the latest development in the Eddie Kingston Jim Ross blood feud is developing on Dynamite. Jim, he felt more comfortable this week and he began to prod Eddie. And Eddie responded to him and he he suddenly got very insulted and he started screaming, "You are a street guy. You are a street guy," he said. And Eddie was like, "Yes." And he was like, Jim Ross is getting rather loud this week. And Tony legitimately said, why aren't you as mean to him as you are to me? And he said, because I respect Jim Ross. And I was like, I was so right. Jim 100% told office that Eddie needs to leave him alone. Definitely. Yes. There you go, folks. That's the latest in this. I'm the only person reporting on this story.
You are.
The only.
Again, this is, they listen to the show. They know the reports. You know the reports. Yep. Everyone, where's this story at? By the way, where's the story on all the other wrestling websites? Report: Joe Hobert of the Distraction says that Jim Ross told TK to tell Eddie Kingston to leave him alone. Why don't we have this story out there?
Cowboy hat emojis all around when that one when that one gets covered. When that one gets aggregated, cowboy hats on me, folks.
Can we put this on Fightful Select? Everyone sign up to Fightful Select. Get more Eddie Kingston scoops from Joseph.
We need to be careful with this because it appears that I am now being like framed as like a spokesperson, and I have never had any contact with Eddie Kingston whatsoever. I want to be clear about that. This is not Eddie Kingston messaging me saying Jim Ross has said I can't bully
him. He retweeted one of your GIFs or promos that you tweeted, didn't he?
Sure. But that doesn't mean we're like, I mean, a lot of people retweet my stuff. They're different than my friend. I mean, you know, there's a barrier there. It's not like you and Ricky Starks, right? You guys are used to be friends, and then the heel turn, sworn enemies ever since.
Who are you talking about? Sorry. Never heard of this person.
We shouldn't bring him up anymore because it's a very touchy subject with you, I feel.
It's not. I just don't like him. That's all it is. I just don't like him. When's the
blow-up match?
We got to have a contract signing first, and he's trying to big...
We need to talk about that. Hang on. John Moxley got attacked.
Yeah, I think it was Renee for revealing the pregnancy as like a throwaway line in a promo.
So I haven't actually seen any discussion about this, so I assume it didn't hit the way I wanted it to. Like, is there any take on who this is? Is it Hangman? Is that what we're guessing?
I guess people are thinking Hangman. I thought it might just be Omega, and he laid him out before he got there, and that's the thing.
It was weird because it was like, it's a big angle, but it didn't really feel like a big angle at all.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it at all. It was in the middle of the show. They're trying to brand this match as Winter is Coming, and it's like, what are we doing here? Just do the match. It's a good match, Moxley and Omega. You don't have to get too cute with it.
What's your issue with Winter is Coming being the branding?
Game of Thrones sucks. That's my issue with it.
Okay, but you're like, just do the match. Don't call it anything.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. Winter is coming, okay? Winter's already here. It's like snowing in half the country.
Fair. You should talk to Tony about this. Not that we're friends with him or anything, but he liked one of your tweets.
TK,
yeah. He liked your tweet when you invited Michael Thompson on the show. By the way, Michael, I know you listen every week. Love to you and the family. Yes. Terrible news.
Yes, very bad news for Clay Thompson.
And Michael, our friend.
And Michael, our friend. Michael has played, he's helped me out a lot behind the scenes that no one will ever know about.
I learn as much as the audience does on this show, folks. I'm told there's a guest. I don't even know what's going on. I have no clue what's happening here.
Yes, there is a potential. There is a potential guest.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
We will see. We will see what happens. What's that? Winter is coming. Game of Thrones. Have you seen Game of Thrones, Joseph?
I don't watch any real television. I watch 12 hours of wrestling a week to study for this show.
I mean, you watch WWE. They're making movies. They're making television. That's the longest running weekly episodic television show in the history of the world, is what I've been told.
It's infinitely less relevant than Hot Ones, though, which gets people Star Wars gigs.
The Undertaker was on Hot Ones. You think you can get a Star Wars gig out of this?
Yes. Yes, I do. The Undertaker's like borderline actually famous. So maybe he doesn't need the wings as much. But the legit boss needed the wings to get over, brother. The way it is.
I mean, why wouldn't she?
Well, she's been a major star on WWF television for 5 years, so like, you kind of would have hoped that people would have realised who she was, but not her fault.
Has she been on WWE television for 5 years?
Yes.
That NXT match was 5 years ago, over 5 years ago now.
Yes. Because she was up, like when that match happened, she was already called up.
Yeah. She was an evolution thing.
Wow. It's literally like now, almost 5.5 years ago, she got called up with Becky and Charlotte.
Wow. Well, Becky's doing television shows. She's apparently in a big movie star sooner rather than later. Charlotte, she maybe is doing a reality show. That seems to be the talk. Some type of show that hasn't been announced.
Everyone has a show now. We have
a show. We got a show.
It's not a big deal anymore. Like, it's a big deal being on a show people know and watch. So credit to the legit boss. But like, just getting a show is like... We did that.
We got multiple shows somehow.
Yes. Jeremy, are we done with modern wrestling?
I hope so. I didn't want to start on it, much less, you know, get to this point, do 45 minutes on it.
I mean, I would happily do an exploration into the High Spots Wrestling Network, but I feel that isn't the time for this. So would you like to go to the old wrestling match of the week?
Yes, set this up.
Oh, wow. Big responsibility. This week... We went to November, was it 19? Was the exact date? Yes, November 19th, 1991. I'm good, I get the date correct. Very good. As Ricky the Dragon Steamboat returned to World Championship Wrestling, he teamed up with the Natural, Dustin Rhodes, master of many bad tweets, as they took on the Enforcers, which was Arn Anderson and Jeremy, the Cruncher, Larry Zbyszko, because he crunched Barry Windham's arm. So he is the Cruncher, which is one of the more literal nicknames in the history of professional wrestling. This match rules.
Explain. Yeah, it's like actually a good match, so yeah. I didn't really like it.
Okay. So this is like, when you think Southern Tag, this is like the kind of match I think of. You know, like the heels are doing all the stooge and then they get the big heat. Builds the big hot tag. It's like it's a tradition. It's the FTR match, basically, that everyone watches now. And there is a moment here, Jeremy, before the action even begins. I always grimace when I hear Jim Ross because he's actually good at this time and he doesn't say anything that's silly. But, like, it's supposed to be Windham and Steamboat, or Windham and Rhodes, and Windham's like, I can't wrestle. Here is my replacement. And Ricky Steamboat comes out with, like, a dragon... Well, how would you describe this? Because it isn't even fair to say a dragon costume. It's like the worst looking thing you'll ever see.
No, he comes out in a giant, like, dragon head. Like, that's yes. It. It's not a full costume. It's just the giant dragon head. And Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone are, like, very confused as to what's going on.
And Tony Schiavone says, based on the attire, I will assume this is a man from Japan. It's a real thing he says. And Jim Ross is like, maybe. Maybe.
Could be. Who knows? They do like the hushed tone type of thing. Like, you know, it's very mysterious. Like, oh, who is this? Like, we don't know. The reveal, though, the crowd goes crazy. First off, Jim Ross, his excitement is like, it's Ricky Steamboat. Like, mm-hmm. He is over the moon that Ricky Steamboat is here in WCW.
Yes. And there is a clear, like, sort of palpable tension between these two on the booth because it appears that Jim Ross has no interest in anything Tony Schiavone says. Like, Tony can say anything, and he's like, I'm not sure about that, Tony, to be honest. Tony could just go out, he made the tag. Nope, didn't see it. Don't know what you're talking about, Tony. He'll ignore him every term. But this was a big moment for WCW because they'd lost Flair, what are we looking at, like 3 months earlier? They just got Rude at Havoc. 20 days later, they get Steamboat back. suddenly, you know, things are looking up. This show really delivered for them. And the crowd is, as you said, they are so happy to see the Dragon. They are so, so happy. Jim Ross, Arn Anderson, like, gets mad at the announce team for some reason because it's Ricky Steamboat. And Jim Ross just goes off on this man. Eddie Kingston's lucky that this guy is no longer part of the industry because he was not having it. Arn said, like, one thing to him. He's like, get back in the ring, you pussy. Get back in there, you coward. Fake enforcer, bitch.
Do you think if Eddie Kingston tried to fuck with this version of Jim Ross, Jim Ross would tear him up, right?
Stab him.
Like, we love Eddie, but he ain't messing with early 90s Jim.
Because Jim would know that he's a street guy, and he would be like, can't even play. Just go. He would call up Dr. Death, and it would be over with him.
Eddie Kingston is honestly a coward picking on this version of Jim Ross. That's very low-hanging fruit.
I actually think that Eddie's trying to get revenge for 1991 Arn Anderson, and he's never told anyone, and this is just exposed to. But anyway.
Arn is the coach and the producer and everything. Do you think he's in Eddie's ear? Be like, fuck him up. Like, Clash 17, fuck him up for that.
Fight Redemption is out, finally. Arn is so great in this match, and it is happening before the match even begins, because his reaction to Ricky Steamboat is like, it couldn't get Ricky over more. He reacts to him like he's God. There's one point, they're doing like the initial Cheyenne, and Arn's like, every punch Ricky throws, Arn's like falling down, right? And he gets out of the ring and he's like, he's just a man. He's just a man. Like, he's just killing him. It's great. And it's from there, it's very simple. There's no silly commentary.
No.
It's an actual good match.
Yes.
They shine him out. It's amazing. They cut him off eventually for like 90 seconds. Dustin hits 12 bionic elbows. They bump to the floor again. And then eventually they actually cut him off after the one funny Jim Ross thing of this time is like any kind of strike. He's like, karate kick. Like, you can throw like a punch. And he's like, karate kick. And then he does that line in every Steamboat match where Steamboat will throw like one kick and like, Steamboat with the martial arts. Like, what? What does that even mean? Anyway. He does that deal. They cut Ricky off. And, like, the one thing that is funny about this match is tracking, like, the pace and energy when it's Larry in and when it's Arn in. Very different matches taking place. Because Larry is just like, he's WCW, dude. I don't give a shit. Like, do what you want
to
do.
Larry's out there trying to crunch, though. Arn is trying to work. Larry's trying to crunch.
Right, because he's the cruncher.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's sort of brothering around. They do, like, the visual tag deal that we see a million times now with, you know, the referee's back and all that nonsense. Yes, that deal. Sometimes Larry doesn't even do that. He just gets in. I'm in now, ref.
Arn will do, like, the, you know, visual tag and then, like, actually tag Larry. And then Larry just, like, blows off the tag completely. He's just like, whatever.
Yes. They also did that. And someone did this spot recently. It may have been FTR, probably.
Probably.
That spot that has not existed since WCW left the world, which is the one where, like, the guy takes the buckle and bounces off into the other guy, and they do, like, a head clash spot. Do you know what I'm talking about here, Jeremy? This sounds much more confusing than it is, right?
No. I got you.
That's gone. We haven't seen this in many years, right? Someone did it recently, but, like, generally, it's not a thing anymore, right?
I mean, tag team wrestling, just working an actual tag team match isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah, like, it's a great double down spot. And then Dustin does an awesome hot tag. Steamboat does like a blind tag, crossbody, pin. The people erupt on the finish. Like, that's something where I'm not one of these people that's like, it used to be better sometimes. But they were so great. So, like, guys like this were so genius at making the finish the actual pop. Like, the actual biggest moment, and that was the finish, rather than it being like, oh, it's finally over. My God, they did 12 moves. This is the perfect example of that. Everyone is happy. And little did Ricky know that a year later, he would have to team with Wrestlers vs. Zombie star Shane Douglas. So things wouldn't be fun for too long. But anyway, it was a great match. That's all, folks.
It was a great match. That's why I didn't really like it. It's like, this is a great wrestling match. Cool. What fun is this, Joseph? If you want to watch great wrestling matches, do it on your own time. Don't subject me to it as well.
Fair. That's very fair. But I just, you know, I wanted to change things up. You know me, like with the movies at one point, I wanted to do good movies. And, you know, that obviously went a whole different way. I started doing albums. But anyway, where's the match next week, Jeremy?
Oh, completely different change of pace, as you would expect from me, Joseph. We have a trilogy to talk about. All right.
Okay.
Okay. This rivalry starts on an episode of Monday Night Raw, August 9th, 2010. They wrestle again at SummerSlam 2010, and they cap off the trilogy on the September 6th, 2010 episode of Monday Night Raw. The length of these trilogy matches is roughly 10 minutes for all three combined. All right?
Okay.
All right. Cameron's favorite rivalry of all time, Melina against Alicia Fox. Those are the three matches.
That's low hanging fruit. So we have to watch all three of them next week.
Yes. Yeah. It's 10 minutes combined. It's shorter than this good wrestling match I had to sit through.
Is this like their actual trilogy, or do they wrestle a lot more and you just pick three matches?
No. They've actually, in singles matches, they had a handful of matches on SmackDown and stuff. We could legitimately watch. They've had 8 singles matches on television. The longest one of the 8 is the SummerSlam match at 5 minutes and 25 seconds.
It sucks that was like the standard ones, right? Like, yes. I'm not a huge Alicia Fox was actually good guy. But, like, she was better than having 8 matches and the longest one being 5 minutes, probably. Right? And Melina was, so. Sure. Okay, fine, Jeremy. Great. Great bit. Great bit you're doing there, pal. Really wonderful.
Get this program back on track. Good wrestling matches. No.
Yeah. I was very professional this week. I was like, let's do a great match. Let's do this. Didn't work.
You predicted that this was going to be, like, a good week in wrestling last week when you picked this tag team match. It was like a prelude to just how good this week was in wrestling. Now I'm here to say wrestling is going to suck this week.
You've been saying that every week and you've been right often. So sure. I believe you. Yes. Fine. It's almost NBA time. I think it is NBA time. Jeremy.
I think it is NBA time. Let me see if we can get, oops. I just sent our guest the cage match link to the Alicia Fox and Melina matches.
Is this a big star?
Huge star. Huge star. Very big star.
Oh, no.
Let's get into the NBA talk, though. Well, we got to wait on him, potentially. Let's get into the NBA talk. NBA draft was last night. Joseph, look, we got to talk about this. Our teams made a move with each other. You want to show off the shirt?
Yes. Al Horford appreciator, baby. There it is. This is going to send this to Jeremy.
New OKC Thunder legend, Al Horford, going to the Thunder along with a first-round pick for Danny Green, who was part of the Thunder for like 2 days.
OKC legend.
Yeah, OKC legend. Here we go. Big star has arrived. I gotta set things up here.
Oh, God.
You can't see that they're like backstage right now, can you?
No, I'm in front of the
camera. There you go. Now everybody can see the cruncher and the point guard. Point guard total. Here we go. You ready, Joseph?
Yep.
You ready? Robert O'Neal is here.
Fuck. Oh, no, not O'Neal. I like O'Neal. We have no heat. How are you, Robert?
I am great. How are you guys doing?
You're well. O'Neal sent us a super chat earlier that said, please say nice things about the Chicago Bulls. Also, who is the Al Horford of this podcast? You are now, Robert. Overpaid and useless.
I love it.
Oh, okay. Man. This feels like a betrayal of my trust. You guys lead this segment because I'm happy. Look, I'm here with, as Robert said, the best GM of 2010, Daryl Morey, who apparently sucks his job now because he's for the Sixers. So I was going to sit back. You guys talk about how great things are for you. And then when you need me, call on me and I'll be here to talk about how happy I am. Thank you.
Oh, no. What did you think of the Bulls draft yesterday? They didn't do anything. They just drafted somebody. Somebody I've never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little weird to take Pat Williams that high. I think they could have traded back for him, but he's NBA ready, man. And that's what you're looking for, right? You want a guy that can come in immediately. And
it is good to get NBA players in an NBA draft. That is always helpful.
Exactly. And, you know, the nice thing, the refreshing thing, they explained why they picked him instead of just kind of how the old regime would have done it, where just so we picked him because we did. So even if it doesn't work, you know, it's nice that they kind of explain their decision making.
Have you seen his frog splash?
Great. Great stuff. And then, you know, in the second round, they take this Serbian guy who's
just no selling.
Yeah. No, we're going to move past that. But no, they take this Serbian guy in the second round, like 6'11", 200 pounds. This guy isn't going to look like a normal person. Like, that's too tall. He's got to put some weight on.
I thought you were describing the Thunder pick. That's what we took.
He's huge. He's 115
pounds. Yeah. But no, it was a good draft. Good draft.
Are you disappointed that Zach LaVine did not get traded?
I mean, there's still time, you know. And Zach LaVine's fine. You know, I shouldn't complain too much about Zach LaVine. He's a fine player.
He's going to thrive in the Billy Donovan offense, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that there's kind of room for him in Philadelphia now. You know, they made a couple moves. So we'll see.
Anything else, Robert? Joseph, do you have anything to say to Robert before we let him go?
He's like a radio caller. He can stay if he wants. Do I have any? That's a big question. I'd like Robert to stay if he can.
He's got work to do. It's a brief cameo appearance. We're not paying him by the minute here. All right,
we're not paying him at all. So
I actually had to pay to come on today.
Yeah, that's true. You had to write a 12-page paper like every other guest.
I could stick around for a little bit. I can leave. Whatever you guys want.
Stay, no, Robert O'Neill. You could stay.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that it was a pleasure hosting the gentlemanly skills of Al Horford for a year. I'm looking forward to him inevitably being awesome for the Thunder. Like, I honestly think he'll remind people that he's good.
Yes.
Because when he played center for us, he was like fine. It's just he was playing at the four. So it's like, you know.
Right now, he might have to play at the four because we still have Steven Adams who needs to somehow get traded.
Oh, man. Oh, dear. I've just thought about Horford and Adams playing next to each other. I nearly had a stroke.
It's ugly, Steven Adams and Al Horford playing together.
I think with Horford, it's like, I don't know what you do with Adams, but if you can just rebuild his value, a contender will inevitably be like, sure, Al Horford. Like, he's a good player, man. I think he'll be fine, but the thing with Adams is he also has a massive contract, right?
Yeah, but he's an expiring. This is the last year of his deal. Okay. Like he should be fairly simple to move if a team just wants like a rugged center at some point.
The problem with him is like, sorry, Rob, I will let you go in a second. I wasn't even trying to be a dick there. I was actually saying sorry. But the thing with him is the teams that always like people look at, it's getting the salary to match with him, right? Yeah. That's what it feels like. So I don't know. What are you going to say, Robert?
Well, you know what the thing is about the contracts is there's not really any bad contracts in the NBA anymore. Someone will always take something for whoever.
It's just a matter of what you've got to attach to that contract. Because, like, Presti ain't attaching a first-round pick to Steven Adams. He's going to get a first-round pick.
Well, and, you know, having to give a first and a second to get rid of Al Horford might be a little much. But, you know, do what you got to do And, you know, the thing is, too, if you're drafting in the lower part of the first round, who cares about the pick?
Yes. I'm intrigued. Like, right now, I would assume they're going to start Danny Green and Seth Curry. But that's what I would guess. I'd imagine it would be Ben at point guard, those two at 2 and 3, and then Tobias and Embiid, right? That's what you'd guess.
Yeah.
So it's like, on balance, that's already a lot simpler to figure out as a team than last year's team was. Like, it is immediately. I don't know how much better it is because sometimes we get so lost in fit and stuff that it's like, is the team actually better? I don't know. Time will tell, obviously, on that. But, like, Seth Curry, I think, was a tremendous deal because he's under contract for, like, 3 more years on a pretty good price. So I thought it was a good day for the Sixers. No one asked, but I thought it was a good day for the Sixers.
We're going to talk about the Sixers because I like what they did. Look, they got out of the Al Horford contract. As a Thunder fan, I'll take the first-round pick. We have 17 first-round picks until 2026. 17 first-round picks.
Well, the thing about Al Horford, Jeremy, is when he has a good shot, he'll pass to get a great shot. And that's what you're going to appreciate about Al Horford.
He's a Thunder killer, too. So I hope that he's like actually good on the team, playing on this team, because he kills them every time they play, and I hate it. I do think that he's going to rebuild his value in OKC. I don't think you can play him and Steven Adams together. That's an issue. But if you're using Horford as your backup center, like, it's fine. Still giving him 25, 30 minutes a game, it can still work.
Okay, let's do some Bulls deep dive. Chicago Bulls, that is. I'm interested. Last year, I thought they were going to be fine. Can confirm they were not fine. The question is, how much of that was due to the coach being like actively incompetent? Or is it the case that Levine is like just kind of a loser and Markkanen's not the player we kind of pretend he is? Or, again, is it purely the fact they had a bad coach? Because on paper, their team to me was never like terrible. I really mean that. I know it sounds like I'm, but like, I think they should be fine. What do you think, Rob?
No, yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of it is the coach. You know, they have a lot of talent on the roster. You look what they win 20 games last year. I mean, they were better than that, I think. And, you know, another year, those guys will be good. I think Wendell Carter staying healthy this year could be good. They got pieces, man. I mean, they got young guys who, and I don't know what you're going to get out of Markkanen at this point, which is unfortunate. I like him a lot, but kind of a make or break year for him. But I don't really dislike them going forward. And, you know, they're in a weak East where you can maybe sneak in, get the 8 seed and lose to the Bucks in 4 games. But, you know, it's still good for first.
That's the Billy Donovan special, sneak into the playoffs and then lose in 5 games.
Yeah, exactly. But it's exciting overall just to have, you know, new GM, new coach, all that. That's kind of what everyone's been waiting for the past few years. You know, we'll see how it goes. I think they have a lot of hope going forward, but still a long way to go.
It's interesting, like, as much as we kind of – the NBA chatter is always like, unless you're the best team in the league, just rebuild in every which way you can, right? Yeah. And it's like the Bulls are definitely in a position where it's like, you now have to try to build, not culture, but like you want to be competitive, right? Like you can't just keep having these seasons where it's like, okay, there's optimism, 20 wins. Like it isn't good for anyone. At some point, like with Donovan, I like the Donovan hire because like, is he a huge, like, oh, he's got great high ceiling? Probably not. Jeremy knows that better than us, but he's like a competent actual coach, you know? And it's like, that's what you need. The big thing is Levine. Like, is there going to be a team that in February is, you know, we need scoring, Zach LaVine, and then suddenly that offer becomes a lot more interesting? That's the thing to watch, I feel.
Here's an offer for you. And I think they should have maybe even made this deal last night. Would you have traded – who's on the Warriors? Wiggins. Wiggins and the 2 for LaVine and the 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I would have done it because I wanted them to take James Wiseman if he was there, and they would have been able to. So,
yeah, then you could flip Wendell Carter, right?
Yeah,
if you have Wiseman,
exactly.
I don't know, man. Wiggins is like,
yeah,
he'll make you appreciate LaVine a lot. I feel like when you see him on your team, you'd be like, oh, LaVine was pretty good. I don't know.
I don't know if I would want Andrew Wiggins, especially on a team with like very limited accountability at this point. Like in Golden State, fine. He's not overstepping Draymond and Curry. Chicago, I mean, Lauri Markkanen ain't telling Andrew Wiggins, hey, play a little bit harder.
True. Yeah, I mean, you know what I would like to do if Russell Westbrook does end up in Washington, you know, see what they want for Brad Beal, I think would be a really nice guy to get somehow. I think the asking price will be very high, but that's a guy who can come in and make an impact almost right away for a team like the Bulls.
If Westbrook ends up in Washington, the Bulls are going for that 8th seed and that first round exit, the Scott Brooks special.
That's true.
Like they're going for it. Look, we need a Westbrook and Scott Brooks reunion. That's all I want out of life, right?
Wait, what is the deal? So they're saying he's going to be traded for John Wall. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, Westbrook and Wall is the framework of a deal. God.
Oh dear, that sounds scary, doesn't it? That sounds wrong.
What an amazing trade that would have been like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a blockbuster 3 years ago.
Well, I was thinking about this with Holford yesterday. Like, how wild is it that the way the contracts are can change a player's value totally? Like, whether you think Holford's a great player or not when he was younger, he was always viewed as like this really respected big man, right? And it's like, we give him that contract. It's like, please take him off us. We'll take Danny Green and give you picks. Like, that's wild, right? It's all from contracts. It changes the whole player's value. It's wild.
I mean, it's tied into the contracts.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a follow-up. So I've checked. We talked about Adams earlier, so I want to try and do this. A little bit of a kind of exercise for us. Where does Steve Adams fit Where are we looking here?
This is what I've discussed this a lot with my Thunder friend of like.
I bet you have.
Yeah, we've tried to trade Steven Adams so many times. this is the issue is like because he is such a throwback player to where a lot of teams just don't really want that kind of player anymore. Like there's still some value. He's on an expiring contract. That helps. There's still some value in his game as a defender. He's gotten a little bit better offensively out of the post and can play make a little bit. He's obviously an excellent, excellent rebounder. And he's a guy you'd probably want in your locker room. Where does he fit? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea who would want Steven Adams. Do you have a suggestion?
Robert, anything?
I mean, I know Boston's kind of been kicking the tires a little bit. That could be a fit, maybe, you know, but it's hard to see like a definite fit for Steven Adams.
Boston would have to be what, Hayward?
Yeah, probably Hayward.
Yeah.
That was like sort of rumored for a little while.
Here's the thing, like, are they better though if they do that deal?
I don't think they are.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they are if they do that deal.
Like sorry, one second, because I'm being very rude here. I'm dominating the conversation. I apologize, everyone. But I see so much about them chasing big men, and it's like I would kind of just want like Williams to just trust his development, then do something crazy to sign a big man at this point. That's me. What was you gonna say?
Go ahead, Robert.
Oh yeah. No, I mean I don't think it necessarily makes Boston better. I mean I don't think Hayward's all that good, but it's a lateral move, I think, at best, and it just feels like Boston wants to just be in on everybody. So
I mean that's the thing, is Boston is in on yeah. everybody, and then they don't get anybody, and then you hear the reports of we're close guys, almost had it. Danny Ainge just wouldn't throw in that second round pick, or he wouldn't throw in Brad Wanamaker or whatever.
What's the deal with Kemba? Why is there talk about Kemba being moved?
If you can upgrade Kemba, I feel like you probably should. I just don't know, is there a big enough upgrade out there for Kemba?
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
Kemba was a mess against Miami. And, I mean, you don't want to just base it off of that. He's still a very good player, but he's getting older. It depends what's out there. Because I know the Bulls were in on him. I don't know how serious the interest was, but I don't know, you know. It's all about making your team better, and no one wants to part with the assets to even get a guy like Kemba, I don't think.
Somebody says Adams to Detroit for Blake. Mm. I don't know Blake's contract. Because, again, Adams isn't expiring. So you're not going to take on a contract that's past that unless there's picks attached, which I'm fine. Hey, I'll take that deal. If Blake has an extra year in his contract and they want to attach a couple firsts to that, we'll take that. That's fine.
Oh man, that's like the least exciting possibility. It's like, okay, sure.
It's all about these draft picks, Joseph. We ain't worried about this year. We're not worried about this year at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Adams is such a weird one because it's like he's one of those guys that I like the idea of more than the reality. You know, yes. It's like, oh, he's this big tough guy, and you watch him, so it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want him on my team.
Every year in the playoffs, they would have beaten Houston. They would have beaten Houston if Adams didn't play. Like if Donovan played Baisley,
Nerlens Noel would have.
Dude, even honestly, if they played Noel more than Adams, it would have been better. But it should have been Baisley who played.
The ultimate is a better like idea than reality guy is Miles Turner by far. Every team is like Miles Turner shooting big man. It's like, dude, if you watch him play, he will infuriate you with what he's capable of and what he does. And everyone is convinced, they're like, Boston fans can't get enough of Miles Turner talk. And it's like, sure? Like, I don't know if you should be getting that excited about it. The big thing with Boston is one of their contracts that they could use to make a big difference is Smart. And they don't want to trade Smart at all, and I get that, because he's like the identity of the team. But it makes it a lot more difficult because Hayward is like a weird asset at this point, right?
Yeah. No, I would say.
It was exciting. Everyone really cheered. Everyone really reacted to my take there. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the feedback, guys. Hope the chat's friendlier than that when I say stuff on here.
Anything else from – what other trades did we have? Any other big trades that we missed yesterday? I feel like it was just the Thunder that did a bunch of shit.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, everyone kind of stayed put.
Penta was traded to the Death Triangle.
He was.
From Kingston's family.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd give up to get him, but he had a steel chair.
Do you have any takes on the Death Triangle, Robert? Did you watch the AEW last night?
I did not watch it from last night yet. It is on my DVR for probably spoiled tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know. But
Robert will message me and he'll be like just in the most optimistic way, like, I just watched a match on AEW, it was really good. And I'm like, good, Robert. He's talking about AEW being good. I'm so happy for him when he messages me and stuff. I'm not even saying this is a rib on Robert. I'm just saying, like, I have the same reaction when I watch stuff on NXT. And it's like, we all get so caught up in just the bullshit in wrestling. And it's like, sometimes you just watch one of the shows, you're like, oh, that was fun. I should just do that more often rather than spending my night, like, arguing about it on Twitter or whatever. It's just, it's much simpler.
It's way more fun to argue about it on Twitter, though.
That's true.
Robert, explain to Jeremy, I was saying this earlier, and he didn't seem on board with it. How awesome are the Butcher and the Blade? Go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that bunkhouse match last week was one of the, you know, most fun TV matches, I think, all year. Really enjoyed that quite a bit.
And it wasn't better than the parking lot brawl. That was better.
You said one of.
Yeah, I said one of, but there.
Yeah, well, I just named another one of that was better than that.
Well, sure. But, I mean, they're good, man. I like them. I like them quite a bit. There's not too many aid I don't care for.
Robert's internet has betrayed him here.
It has.
Yeah, and we're gonna let you go. Everyone follow Robert's frozen. Everyone go follow Robert O'Neill on the Robert O'Neill section of Twitter. Thank you for popping on.
That man was doing AEW praise and his internet was like, fuck that shit. Get him off of here, that AEW praise. Just go back to talking about Monday Night Raw. Oh my God, what just happened? What's happened to the screen?
Yeah, all the printers and stuff are back. It's very easy to do all this now.
Was this already there?
Was what already there?
Was this there before Robert came on?
Yeah, all this was there before.
I didn't see this before. I couldn't see this.
Yeah, and then I had to remove it to bring him on because otherwise it would have looked very weird.
This is very exciting. We have quite the show here, folks. We have guests.
We got production values and stuff. It's so easy to just like have people pop in and out too now for this. You never know who's going to show up.
Yeah, true. Other people in the chat must be like, I also did a super chat and I did not get invited. And O'Neill has no credentials. It's not like he's on some like major site. I'm like, oh, Rob's here in the chat. It's just like he's our friend. He comes in the chat, I guess.
He's a previous guest on the show. He was part of our biggest show ever. So, I mean, that's pretty big credentials.
That show, there's not a day that goes by I don't think about the way that he handled that evening. I was there for some fun. We had our hats on, and he was there, Danny Ainge with his like Iceman gimmick, high upside. You know, like he just bury, like he wouldn't even sell. I would bury his pick and he'd just be sitting there like, can't do nothing. My picks are on the board. And then everyone tweeted and was like, O'Neill won it. And I was like, hang on. It was about the friends we made along the way. It was not about winning the draft, folks. But O'Neill won. God bless him. There he is.
We just retired the hat. The Undertaker hat got retired just a second ago.
I hope someone screenshotted that.
Somebody did. Undertaker. I think Jabber JJ had already screenshotted it and I retweeted it.
I enjoyed O'Neill's run. Here's what we should do. O'Neill's NBA corner should be a thing.
Okay. Sure. Sure. What are we doing, Joseph? What are we doing with these bits here?
We just do production on the show now. I don't know if you noticed. That's all we do. I didn't even know he was coming on. Okay. I just, you know, when he came on, I thought I'd treat him nice. I didn't want to be a dick again. You know, we've changed our ways, me and O'Neill. We've grown up.
Minnesota is trading James Johnson to Oklahoma City as part of the Ricky Rubio deal. It means
league something. Over.
James Johnson, Al Horford, and Steven Adams as your forward rotation. I mean, nobody's stopping those guys, right?
That's the bad boys right there, baby. Yeah.
That's like 50. How much is Horford making? Johnson's making like 15 million. Adams is making like 20 million. What's Horford making?
25, I think.
All right, so we got a good 60 million, 65 million tied up in those three guys right there.
Wow, waffle. How much money that is? That's more than like all 400 WWE performers together.
Yeah, easily. Al Horford alone is more than all of these WWE performers.
Do you think people seriously overestimate how much WWE performers get paid? Because I do personally.
Yes, 100%. Because we're all making like pennies out here. So like these guys must be rich and stuff. And then you see like these basketball contracts, and you see who's actually rich when it comes to the sporting event stuff.
And this sounds terrible. So I need people to listen to what I'm saying, because I'm not. Like, I would like for all wrestlers to get paid more. But, like, the reality is there are legitimately, like, 5 wrestlers left that make any impact on WWE's number. They can pay them whatever they want at this point. That's kind of sad, isn't it, really?
You know how they could get paid more? If they were allowed to do Twitch and Cameo. Yeah. But they can't do that stuff, at least in one company.
Like, I probably shouldn't do this on air, but I'm going to. So, you know who at Sports Illustrated? Good brother. Justin Bresser, he like did that thing where he was you know, it doesn't really impact WWE. And everyone got mad, but I was like, I mean, kind of the truth, right? Like, we're being honest, people are going to move on so quickly. And that sucks, because Zelina Vega is awesome. But we just spoke about all the people they have sitting in NXT. It's like, that's the reality of where the industry is now. Like, someone like her, they're just not going to miss a beat, unfortunately. That's just the way it is. Sucks.
I mean, it could be an issue if her talking with SAG and union stuff is really legit. Then,
of course, then but on TV, I mean,
on television. Yeah. No offense to Zelina Vega, who I think we both really like, but she's just a cog in the wheel.
It could be someone who's a bigger star, like even Alexa.
Yeah,
take Alexa off it. They'll just they'll find someone else. That's just the way it is. Like a big wheel. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not a thing about Zelina. I don't think he intended that line to be about Zelina. It's just, we have to be honest about where the industry is now. And the truth is, the reason they have no power is because they have built a system in which the whole roster can be stranded in Saudi Arabia and they can be like, get the NXT guys on a plane. Best episode of the year. That's how many people they have at this point, you know?
So, yeah.
What a lovely way to finish the show.
Anything else to talk about, Joseph? That we need a good like NBA trade to break right now.
No, I have nothing else to say other than the Butcher and the Blade are really cool. I like the Butcher's apron. Oh, Jeremy, no one has messaged me about Christmas gifts. Why?
Sorry, I don't know why. Why are you asking me?
Why are the audience? I'm sure they've done it to you, right? Everyone's messaged you and been like, "Point God, where do I send them?"
Yeah, everyone's messaging Sean that they need the Point God shirt, but nobody's messaging me like, hey, what can I get you for Christmas?
How many of those, on day one of release, how many of those shirts are you buying for yourself?
I'm not buying any. I better get sent one. Are you kidding me? I'm not paying for my own shirt.
Well, I think that is a complete flagrant lie. I think you're going to purchase like 15 to make sure they break even.
Are you kidding me? No, I'm not buying that much.
You're going to be like, hey, who did the shit film on Tuesday and have like a box of them.
That's going to be my Christmas gift to everybody else. Yeah. I'm going to send them to all my pals and be like, here's your Point God shirt and make sure they sell out.
That would be incredible. Just on day one, Sean's like, wow, already cleared.
Yeah.
15 of them gone. You're like, yeah, I know.
I'm going to send you one, Joseph. I'm just sending them to all my friends that said they were going to buy one themselves. I would buy you a Point God shirt myself just to make sure they sell.
Got to respect it. Okay. Tomorrow, stream day, right, Jeremy? Oh, we're streaming.
Apparently, we're doing this. Yes. Booty Part Wrestling tomorrow. What time? 3:00?
Probably, probably. Okay. And then what else is happening? Oh, yeah, and then next Tuesday, big star, Jack Crosby. He's on.
Three-time guest, Jack Crosby.
Yes, hat trick. Match ball he gets for that one, Jeremy. You have to send him that.
Match ball. I was like, what are you talking about?
When you get a hat trick, they give you the match ball.
Okay.
This isn't a match, so we don't play with any balls that I know of.
Debatable.
So you're going to have to send him something. I don't know what, because that's a big achievement.
I'm going to send him a Point Guy shirt.
Beat Ricky Starks to the hat
trick.
Oh, sorry. I forgot again. There's no one better than Ricky Starks, in my opinion.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him.
Okay. I'm very sad that O'Neill's connection died as he was talking positively about the AEW.
He's going to start talking positively about Ricky Starks, and then I would have just kicked him off anyway.
This show was almost less than 90 minutes, and we can still achieve that. So I'm going to just put my microphone down before I ruin the whole program. Jeremy, here's my plugs. Joe Hulbert 5 on Twitter. Don't read my Undertaker feature. Just retweet it. And watch all the stuff we do on here. I'm done. That's it. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to make the show long with an unnecessary Undertaker bit. I'm checking out. I'm retiring. I'm done.
Tuesday, we're reviewing a body slam with Jack Crosby. Tomorrow around 3, we will play TEW Booty Pro Wrestling. We just come off our first pay-per-view. Everyone check that out. The only way to know the exact time that we're going to be playing that tomorrow, subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Saturday, Joel Pearl and I are going to be playing some video games. We're playing the TNA Impact game. I don't think I've ever played this game. If I have, it's been a very long time. Put your mic down. You're not allowed to say anything. You're done. We're playing the TNA Impact game on Saturday, and we might play some other wrestling stuff. Joel got a bunch of games. He got like Simpsons Wrestling as well. I don't know what we're playing, but we're doing that on Saturday. Sunday Survivor Series. I think that's everything. We'll be back next week talking about NBA free agency, probably, and wrestling. We talk about wrestling sometimes. You can follow me on Twitter @JeremyLambert88. We'll talk to everybody then. I forgot.